Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing feedback. We've got a lot of Loki to talk about. A lot. It's kind of loco. Oh, that's a terrible joke. All that and more that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair tonight, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Asho?
I am fantastic. I'm ready to jump right in, Asho.
A little long second. It took to respond.
That
it
took a second.
I don't know.
It's like she had that sentence chambered and then was like, hold up. Pull the e-brake.
We're not a scripted show, people, I swear.
I think that's clear. I think it's very clear.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how are you?
Ready to dive into that feedback.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Hit us with some feedback, Jeffo.
Hannah, one of our patrons, says, hi, folks. What Loki variants do you think we'll see next season? I think we'll see a sea mammal Loki. He'll be a glorious porpoise. I'll see myself out.
Oh, Jeff, you loved that. You loved that.
I love it so much.
Thank you, Hannah. You're kicking things off right tonight with
that's such a good one.
Porpoise pun. Thank you.
5 stars, Hannah. 5 stars. Okay. I'm all right. I'm not crying. It was so good, though. Jonathan Kim, another of our patrons, says, hello, variants. After watching the first season of Loki, I have a thought that hurts my brain to throw out to you all for discussion. So we saw at the beginning of episode 6 that the time stream was a ring/loop. What if everything is supposed to happen as it is? Even the killing of He Who Remains. The multiverse war is supposed to happen, and He Who Remains is the one who ends up in the end every time. This war is just the beginning of the loop, and now we are just getting the stories in between. Of course, infinite number of stories there. In the end, people technically still do have free will, but it all ends up being back in a loop. Thoughts? Love you 3000. Jonathan.
I think it's definitely an interesting thought on, like, so I don't think the loop that is surrounding the temple means that, because by the end, the loop is no longer a loop. It starts to become the multiverse. All the branches start appearing. But it is how much did that ring and that loop and that circle have thematically? I do think, I mean, even He Who Remains thinks that, like, he says, like, okay, you take over the job and I retire, or you kill me and I'll be back. Like, he thinks it's a loop.
Well, it sounds, honestly, it sounds to me like he's maintaining this loop or circle or whatever to keep the other, you know, the other circles, the other variants of him away from his spot. And, you know, because he thinks he's so benevolent, but I mean, he said, like, wait until you meet my variants.
Right.
But then he did say, wait until you meet my variants. Like, you think I'm bad, wait until you meet my variants. Like,
well, that was his threat to try to get them to make the choice he wanted them to make, which...
There are no coincidences, Matt. Marvel very deliberately chose those words.
Did they or did they not, though? You know what I mean? I mean, like, we're definitely going to meet his variants. That's definitely true.
Yeah, but,
like,
we are
in
now.
In that moment, he was trying to twist them up. The question is, did he want them to stab him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Does he know?
Yeah.
Does he know? That's the real question. That's the burning question we all have is, does he know? Does He Who Remains know that all of this is going to happen exactly like this? Like, is this all part of his grand plan?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so.
Oh yeah.
That's still what I think.
I respect that. I
respect the man who'll die for his plan.
No. I mean, I respect that, like, that Ashley feels like she's fairly confident. She's been consistent since the beginning that she feels like that was all part of his plan. That's what he wanted, was for them
all
to stab him.
All part of the plan.
But I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm really still up in the air about it.
I'm on board the it's all a plan train. Because I feel like Kang is that kind of crazy. Like, he's that kind of manipulative and nutso when it comes to how the timeline can go.
Right. Something I can't don't know if we talked to this in the last episode or if we talked to this on Wednesday on trivia. So I may have mentioned this in the last episode. But something that I've someone pointed out in either the feedback or somewhere was the gold inlay in throughout the temple, mm-hmm. and how it is, very similar to the Japanese art of repairing pottery. You guys know what I'm talking about?
And accenting the breaks.
Yeah. So it seems like this citadel, also, by the way, the citadel looks a lot like a sanctum.
It does.
And the fact that the ancient one was also seemingly protecting the timeline, right? Like, she's protecting what she thinks of as a sacred timeline. It almost appears to me like the TVA is protecting the sacred timeline from the outside and the ancient one is protecting it from the inside. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like maybe even they are sort of agents of his, unwittingly or not. I'm not sure.
Well, she has peered all through time, and now we know that the TVA is there to prune those branch timelines. Like, the only... It was in a thing that I saw. I think someone posted it in the Facebook chat recently, but it was like when Doctor Strange went looking forward in time, those 14,605 different ways that he saw it happening, it's that only one way fits in He Who Remains' plan for how the multiverse, or rather how the sacred timeline should go. And every other time, every other choice that was made, or every other, you know, variant of that specific timeline got pruned.
Right.
So this was the only one that could maintain that.
That's the question. Did Doctor Strange see that?
Well, like, if Doctor Strange could see that with using the time stone, then the ancient one, who had been peering through time, like she said, mm-hmm. and she could never get past that one moment of her death, she would have seen those variant realities as well, and would have seen those being pruned.
Possibly, when you say peering through time, if time is the metric you're peering through, if that makes sense, or the axis at which you're talking about, it may mean you stay in your three-dimensional space. So she may mean peering through time might mean I peered through my timeline, the timeline that I know exists. You know what I mean? But we also know that Doctor Strange looked at all these multiverses, but he never mentions the TVA. So it's not like he
doesn't mention the TVA, because mentioning the TVA would get them pruned.
Sure, that's possible. It'll be interesting to see if Doctor Strange knows about the TVA. Or the One Who Remains, or the idea of the sacred timeline. I mean, clearly, the way that the Ancient One describes it on the rooftop seems almost like she's saying it's an ancient. Like, this is sacred. We don't want to create a branch that'll be dark and not right. What we want, you know?
Well, like, at the moment that she was saying it, the rest of us were, we were thinking, you know, if Bruce were to take the Time Stone from her reality right then and not return it, then Dormammu shows up and wants to consume the world, then Doctor Strange would have nothing to bargain with, right?
Yeah, but somewhat.
That was the first thought.
Well, she also says it creates the flow of time.
Right. But now we know about the TVA, I think it would be safe to assume that she knows about the TVA because of, you know, peering through time and seeing branch timelines, because, you know, it's all about decisions. It's all about choice. And, you know, if she's looking through the time stream at choices, then obviously the TVA is going to show up at some point. She's going to see it happen. So, like, it makes sense for her to know about them.
I agree. It kind of doesn't make sense not to know about them, but at the same time, unless somehow, you know, He Who Remains is shielding that information or something. Like, they're seeing these possible timelines and how they would play out. I don't know.
You know,
that power seems a lot less interesting.
I don't think he cares, honestly. Like,
right?
I think he doesn't care that anybody knows about the TVA as long as they follow his plan. Like, sure, you can know about me as long as you follow this path. Whatever.
I would agree with that. Anyway,
that makes him a lot more sinister.
I do want to point out the idea of the inlaid pottery. Like,
so, oh yeah, we'll circle back to that.
That's what started this branch conversation that we've been on for the last few minutes. Let's go back to the original timeline. Let's prune this.
Yeah. prune that.
I'll prune it in the edit. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll fix it in pruning.
That's what I'm going to call editing from now on. There's this Japanese practice of when you break pottery, instead of trying to fix it and make it look like it was never broken, you accentuate the cracks. You accentuate them by using gold inlay to fix the cracks in the pottery. And the entire citadel at the end of time is like themed with those same golden like veins.
Like veins. Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, like, kind of like you're saying, if it is a big loop and he who remains is a version of Kang that's going to keep coming back and keep coming back, then like maybe that is the example. Like maybe the Citadel has been destroyed, or at least the concept of the Citadel has been destroyed before. And that's sort of like a thematic clue to that fact. And he says, you know, I've seen it all before and all this stuff. And it's just, it's interesting. I also had the weird thought that like, what if the Kangs are taking turns? Hear me out, right?
Okay.
So like, there's this infinite number of Kangs. They all want the multiverse. They all like run the multiverse. And then maybe the four that we see at the end of time, they're like, all right, you're going to go first. You like, you know what I mean? Like you run the multiverse for an eon or two and see, and then at the end, when you're ready to die, you pass it on to me and then you pass it on to the next, you know?
Do you remember in episode 1 of Loki, before they hit the opening credits at all, there's that guy that was like, take a ticket. That's what it is. They took a ticket.
Yeah. All the Kangs are in a line with their ticket.
It's like, I'm next.
They have a metaphysical quantum ticket that's going to let them into the next in line.
And it's just that one guy. It's just standing there with all the Kangs coming in. He's like, take a ticket.
Yeah. So if that's the case or something like that, where this version of Kang has won, he's done his thing. Oh. He's now so old and tired that he's just ready to give it up. He's like, this is a game for the young. I give it over to the next Kang in line. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It kind of goes with the idea of they're learning things. They've got all these books around them that are like the stories of the multiverse, I assume, and or at least their timelines that they've lived out.
It's all just really terrible smut novels.
Penthouse forums and such.
Yeah, like if you pull the book off the shelf, you see the cover has like a very muscular dude, a horse, somebody has long flowing hair, there's probably lightning on a hilltop somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all look the same.
Oh, yeah. Lots of Fabio.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Exactly that. I mean, it gets bored in the Citadel at the end of time, you know? You gotta spice it up.
Gotta spice it up with some Fabio.
Anyway.
What do we got next?
Ashley's like, let's go. We're at Fabio. Let's move.
that's our new sports. We always move on. Fabio, it's really time. It's really time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hold you all to that.
No more Fabio. Denied.
Oh, man. Nicole, another of our patrons, says, hey, MCU cast fam. That's better than accidentally leaving a name out, right? I wanted to bring up the design of the Citadel at the end of time. It's a black stone. Yeah, Matt, this is exactly what you were talking about.
Oh, crap. Well, here we go.
It's a black stone, but shot through with gold everywhere. I couldn't stop thinking that it reminded me of that Japanese art where they repair pottery with gold, Kintsugi. It treats breakage as part of the history rather than something to hide, end quote, per Wikipedia. I feel like this means something, that all of the broken timelines are somehow recorded, or that they're part of the greater whole, and that the branching timelines and all the stuff they pruned actually had a purpose, and those broken bits of the what will be the multiverse need to be unleashed. Thoughts? Nicole.
I like all of that. It really ties together with what we were just talking about, which does this Citadel, all the books that are in there, are they somehow recorded? Are those are not actual books. Maybe they're like representations of books that like mean all recorded history, or like each of those books is a timeline that's recorded. And does the multiverse play out the same way? Because Kang seemed to think it would. Kang seemed to think if you let the multiverse split off, it's going to I will end up back here, he says. You know what I mean? Right.
You know, we say, I will end up back here, but like a version of him will end up back here. Like, I'm always the one that comes back here to be the ruler, so, you know, whatever. See you soon. Mm-hmm.
I love this idea that now basically the goal is to, like, topple that recurring dominion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
It's always another day, another Kang.
I apologize, Nicole, for taking your thunder there by bringing that up, like, 30 seconds too early.
It's always what happens.
We do it every time.
Just read... Read the copy.
Read the copy. You'll see there's no Fabio in there. Kyle Barwick sent us an email. Hi, Matt, Jeff, and Ashley. I'm writing in from Tasmania, Australia, but originally from Liverpool, UK, in case Jeff wants to try that interesting blend of accents. I do not.
That is a hard one.
No, no, no. Just wanted to share a thought I had while discussing Loki with a friend from work, not Hulk, an actual friend from work. I feel like He Who Remains couldn't have just opened up completely honestly like he claimed to do. The whole show was full of lies and hidden agendas, and we should expect nothing less from a Loki show. I feel like this would have certainly extended to He Who Remains. It seemed like he was guiding them into what happened, just like he was guiding them all the way to his citadel. He offered a choice, but was it really? Again, the theme of the whole show, he goaded Sylvie, reinforced the idea that she can't trust anyone, including Loki. She was primed, ready for taking the action that she did at the end. This also explains why he seemed pleased as he died. That's what he wanted to happen. Mm-hmm. Why would he want that, though? He'd already mentioned reincarnation and that he'd be back there again anyway. My theory is that this is how he's creating his own kind of immortality. I assume, just like anyone, eventually he'd get old and die, but if he keeps this cycle going, he essentially goes on forever. Those files sent to Renslayer could have been copies of what he showed Loki and Sylvie on his desk, details of everything that happens or is said in his great plan. If he sent her to give those files to his younger self, his knowledge carries over to his next self, and he can follow the guidebook to the sacred timeline so the cycle continues. Thanks for reading and for everything you do. I've been listening for a long time, so long I don't actually remember when I started, maybe early phase 3? And it's always a pleasure following along with all the thoughts, feedback, and Mephistos. Take care, Kyle.
Yeah, I ship this 100%. I totally understand it.
Fantastic. Idea. I love it.
I love it a lot.
That so much.
That's kind of like what I've been like thinking was because he gave those files away. He definitely let what's her face know something. And if it was to give like his future self the things, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Like, what if similar to what Matt was saying about the deli line, you know, take a ticket. Similar to that, though, like, in every iteration of the timeline or whatever, like, Ravonna goes to give young Kang the files, he reads them, he learns, and he grows, but each time is in, like, an alternation, like, he swings back and forth on the spectrum of, like, Kang the Conqueror versus, you know, jolly old He Who Remains.
It's weird because, yeah, this can't be exactly the same loop, so this is a good idea, the fact that there's, like, a binary back and forth, because... Right. Yeah, this obviously is not the same version of the TVA that we saw in last season. Mm-hmm. And that all still relates to the idea of what is the TVA and where does it reside and is it timeline specific or is it one TVA to rule them all, you know?
I don't know if he would have them doing something different just because it was a different variant, I wonder. Because he wants, you know, he needs the TVA to keep doing what they're doing to keep his flow of time going.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how different the corporation as a whole might be at that point. Like in this new, do you think they're doing something differently? Like, what if they're a little bit more brutal about their tactics because it's a different kind of leader? Well, I don't know.
I think it could be interesting if like their goal is totally opposite. Like Kang from comics tries to create the perfect version of himself by creating lots of versions of himself and continuing to go back and kind of like restart the process
It's a numbers game for him.
Yeah, it's a numbers game to some degree. Like he actually does sort of support his earlier versions in like, he's like, I'm going to go back and fix the problems with this version of myself had these problems. I'm going to go make sure that's different next time. So he does that sort of thing in comics. So like, what if this version that we saw is this one that lived forever and is the end of time, but this new version doesn't want to shut down the multiverse, but wants to like proliferate it. He wants to like create more Kangs. He's like, yeah, I'm running the game. I'm outside the game. I'm still Kang the Conqueror, but I'm trying to create an even better version of myself to pass this along to when I'm done or whatever.
Well, when Loki went running up to B-15 and Mobius at the end, they were saying like, there's a bunch of branches. Is this what he wanted? Maybe this was his plan. So that goes along with Kang the Conqueror saying, here's all these multiverses. All of these are worlds to conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like, I think it was Alexander the Great, that quote in Die Hard. When he saw the sea, Alexander wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Oh, right, yeah.
Good quote.
Anyway, similar to that, he creates more worlds to conquer.
Yeah, that absolutely could be. Or more worlds to produce more versions of himself. You know, it's really all about getting a bigger, better Kang.
John, send us an email. Hey, Ash and the Ashettes. I like it. This one I approve of.
I like it a lot.
Fully deserved.
It is. Yep. Hey, Ash and the Ashettes. Controversial opinion on Loki, and spoiler alert for the series. I was disappointed with the last episode. Well, we don't have to read this email. Yeah, I'm kidding. On the one hand, I respect the decision to make 50% of the episode a philosophical discussion. For superhero properties that can be heavily dependent on pew-pew-pews, this is refreshing. That being said, other than the fact that it was Kang at the top, there was actually nothing new in the reveal that wasn't shown in the Miss Minutes narrated video in episode 1. A winner of the multiversal war establishes the TVA to prevent chaos. Check. For a series focused on conspiracy behind the TVA, the actual truth was just that instead of being run by 3 space lizards in a room, the TVA was run by a spaceman in a different room. Instead of the staff coming from unidentified other sources, they came from pruned universes. Not quite an earth-shattering revelation. As a result, the ultimate moral quandary of the last episode was a somewhat self-evident moral quandary of the show from the get-go. So the investment we were supposed to have was in how this quandary would impact the Loki-Sylvie relationship. And all I have to say here is that it looks like the Odin sons have something in common. They're both chumps that fall in love with people within less than a week. On the bright side, the music and visuals were good, and Owen Wilson really wowed the audience. Warm regards, John S.
I could not disagree with John more.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Oh, you know, John, we can all disagree here. It's all good. John has his thing. Disagree. It's fine that he does. It's fine that he's this wrong. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine he didn't like it, but I think the thing you're missing is for the revelations that happened were huge. I mean, the revelation that they're all variants is insane for the characters themselves. They've been pruning variants. Their entire life is built around killing the thing that they are. That's a huge revelation when you think about, like,
yeah,
I'm designed to kill the thing that I am. And I'm literally designed. I mean, B-15 is designed to hate the thing that she is. And then she goes, oh, I am that. And then, yeah, and that makes her stop. That's huge for her character and for Owen Wilson's character and all of them. And then the fact that, by the same token, the fact that timekeepers are not these benevolent forces, but they're this guy who just won the multiversal war, which I think was pretty predictable, but like, it's still a huge revelation to the characters. And then the way that the last episode is not about revelations. The revelations have all happened by the last episode. The last episode, except for Kang himself, the last episode is about the Loki and Sylvie relationship and the two of them trying to decide how to resolve this thing when they've come to this place where they completely disagree about what the next step is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Jeff? You looked like you were very excited about something.
No, I was not excited. I'm terrified. We're about to No, mm-mm. No, Ashley, nothing.
Yep. What happened?
Keep going. Nothing?
Is it in the chat or something?
No, it's a thought that I had, and it's a... No.
I mean, if you want to go for it, you can always prune it later if it's something that you don't feel comfortable with.
Fix it in pruning.
Okay.
So there's a... okay. I'm going to piss off a lot of people here.
Okay.
I know that already. That's why I asked Ashley if it was okay.
All right.
Good luck.
So, I see a bit of an allegory or just a bit of a parallel with the programmed racism that you and I would have grown up with, Matt, here in the South.
Sure.
Where it's just drilled into your head. This is the way things are. This is the way things are. This is the way things are. Until something happens to open your eyes and be like, no, wait, they're a people. I am also a people. Mm-hmm. They're like me. Oh, I can't do that. That's bad.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of, you know, that's what I'm seeing with the TVA.
Oh, 100%.
Like, once they get their eyes open, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
These are also a people.
It doesn't have to be race. It can be anything we other people for. But yes, race Any is hate. Absolutely part of it.
Yes.
Yeah, you could put, it could just be hate group.
Yeah, anything you hate. Anything you hate. Any people that you're allowing yourself to hate because you don't consider them valuable like you are valuable. They think of themselves as these beings that are created to do this job. And then they realize, oh, we're not angels at all. We're just variants that were retasked, you know, and it's a huge change for them. And what I love is that's what I think is going to have to happen on a larger scale for the entirety of the MCU right now, because we're about to get a multiverse, probably a multiverse war of some type, whether it's Kangs fighting each other, whether it's, you know, the universes can't all exist. So some of them have to fight and collapse on each other like we've seen in comics and things.
Sounds like madness.
Yeah, it does sound like madness. But if you're fighting a guy from a different universe and you're like, that guy can just die, it's fine. He's not the real Spider-Man. I'm the real Spider-Man.
Oh, God,
but
yeah.
Then you have to have that revelation that you're like, oh, wait, he is also valuable. He is also has purpose and value. And like,
he's someone else's Spider-Man.
Yeah. And you have to have that realization. And I think that sort of broader empathy is, I think, what we're going to end up with in the multiverse. And I hope.
Right.
I love that kind of storyline, because I think, like, I personally believe that that's one of our purposes as human beings, is to broaden our empathy. We all are born, as you said, we're born in the South with this sort of programmed racism. But everybody is born in there. First, it's your family, and your family is the important people, and everyone outside of that is. But you broaden that to your friends, and then you broaden it to everyone in your area, and then you broaden it to everyone. You know, you broaden it and broaden it and broaden it, and hopefully we all get to a place where we have a broad sense of empathy for everyone. So I love the idea of these stories.
Awesome.
I don't think that's controversial at all.
Okay.
No.
Personally.
Thank you. Okay. I was scared.
I got a text.
You know?
I'm going to talk about racism. Is that cool? I was like, I don't know, man. What the hell are you going to say? That's not a good... I was like... Ugh.
Not a good segue.
It's 8:08. Let's do this, okay?
You're good.
Ashley looks at the clock. Oh, we're going to go for hours on this topic.
Uh-oh. It's like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, man. So all of that discussion is a really good segue into the discussion of multiverse, which I think we need to hold on to until our next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Our next episode that will hit the feed is our commissioned episode on how does the multiverse work? And we're just going to kind of break it down and talk about it a little bit. So keep an eye on your feeds for that.
Keep an eye on the feed. Sorry. So, in the interest of moving along and also holding on to good discussion, let's move on to Richard Rolson from Twitter, said, to the MCU podcast. I listened to your last podcast prior to Loki episode 6 and had a thought based on your discussion of the multiverse. I was a huge fan of the What If comic franchise back in the 80s and 90s, so I was really excited to hear that there would be an animated series of What Ifs, but I didn't think more about it. Now, however, with the plot of Loki and the title of the next Doctor Strange movie and hints at the next Spider-Man movie, I'm wondering about the What If series. Is not each What If story a Nexus event? Could there be a plan to tie the What If series into the MCU 4.0 more than might have been expected? Just a thought. Great show. So glad Loki inspired me to see who was discussing it. Thanks, Richard.
Hey, thanks, Richard, for joining us. That's awesome.
Richard, you may want to go back and listen to a previous cast, because I have definitely discussed it of holy crap, guys, what if is canon. Mm-hmm. Like, because we have the multiverse, what if mm-hmm. is it's going canon, to be a so part of it. Yeah, all yeah. of it, every episode is a potential thread in this web.
Right.
We'll talk more about the multiversal web.
And we know that Uatu, the Watcher, is like the main character. He's the narrator of this. He's the crypt keeper, if you will, of this anthology series.
Wow.
I like that reference.
Talk about a throwback.
Thank you.
It's my favorite. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Me too. I both love it and hate it. Like, yeah, I'm frightened thinking about the Crypt Keeper in some of those episodes.
I think the only one of those I ever saw was Bordello of Blood.
Oh, interesting. So the movies. Oh,
I remember being little watching that at like 11:30 every Saturday night live.
Yeah, TV shows.
Almost yeah. midnight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the show, though, it has Uatu as this narrator. I think he's going to be like literally talking about the concept of the multiverse. Maybe he'll even talk about the fact that it is open again. And like, maybe he's been watching the single, like, or this like band of multiverses that has been the sacred timeline all this time. And maybe he's been like bored. Maybe he's like, the multiverse is open again. I will watch, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I can totally
see what's out bored. For a minute. Yeah. He seemed bored to me.
He seemed bored to me. The cable was out for a minute, so
yeah.
Thank God there's more channels now.
No, Rick and Morty Multiverse Cable, man. I have to
watch
the
local shit.
Have you seen Rick and Morty Multiverse Cable?
No,
not at all. He puts a multiverse cable box on their TV, and so every once in a while they do a multiverse cable episode, and it's just them channel surfing, and it's just them watching the multiverse, and it'll be like a little 30-second skit in this multiverse, and then this version of the multiverse, and then another 30-second skit, and it's very funny. And apparently okay. they improv it all. It's just them in front of the mics being like, and now we're all chairs! I don't know, it's just weird.
That is weird.
It is very weird and very funny.
Something that's like mildly relevant to What If, mm-hmm. you go and read issue 0 of the original Sin comic, like it follows Sam Alexander, young Nova, for like most of it. But when he goes to Uatu's sanctum, Uatu shows him where, like, kind of where he comes from, like his past, and shows him this pad that he can stand on where he's searching, scanning the multiverse, trying to find a version in the multiverse where the decision that his father made didn't happen the way that it did. So like he's scanning for this one variant where it doesn't happen like that. And like with Uatu looking at all of these different variants like that, it gave me real strong What If vibes. Like it was awesome.
Yeah, that's rad. Have you seen, so I don't know how much you're have been paying attention to the rumors mill this week, but there's been a bunch of rumors, and we need to do a news episode soon and sort of track down these rumors and see how legit they might be.
None of them are. All of them are.
But there was a rumor this week that like Haley Atwell's Captain Britain or whatever from What If would appear in one of the future movies coming up soon. I want to say yep. it was in Multiverse of Madness or something.
Probably like, Multiverse of Madness.
That'd be cool.
It'd be so cool if we got these, like, you know, you remember like the Animatrix?
A little bit.
I remember the idea of it being right. an anthology series of animated mm-hmm. things kind of related ancillary to The Matrix.
Yeah, they put out like little six little animated shorts in between The Matrix 1 and 2, I believe, or maybe it was between 2 and 3. But then some of those characters crossed over into the movies. And like, how cool would it be if we didn't even know it, but we watched the What If series. We got to know the backgrounds of these like alternate versions. They just seem like little stories. And then they all like actually enter the story and we see their lives in the big on the big screen.
Yeah, zombie cat.
Oh, zombie cat. What if the zombies start pouring into the MCU?
That's terrifying.
It really is.
I don't want that. I know Ashley would love that because she's such a horror fan.
World War M. World War Mutants.
I was like, is that M like mutant or M like Magneto?
Or multiverse.
Mm. The dead, yeah, well, no, not Magneto.
Or Michael Fassbender.
Are we talking about zombies or my thirst? What are we talking about? Don't bring up Mac. This will just turn into an entire Magneto talk. Do you think they'll bring them through, though, really? Like, that's such a perfect time to bring some of those characters in. I've been saying it and saying it.
Yep.
Like, please.
If things get as crazy as they're seeming like they're getting with this Spider-Man movie, like, if we actually get freaking Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, but it really seems like we're going to, since Alfred Molina's in there.
Yep. And Jamie Foxx.
Like, it really seems like that's happening, which means, like, I really would not be upset if we got a freaking animated Miles Morales showing up or Spider-Ham. Like, I would be okay with that. It's the multiverse. Have, like, a trippy, and who better to direct that trippy, campy craziness than Sam Raimi? Like,
right?
Sam Raimi directing, like, a Who Framed Roger Rabbit style, like, animation scene where they, like, enter the multiverse and meet, you know, all these different versions. Oh, gosh. I want it so bad.
So, taking a second to break away from the conversation.
I was warned about this.
We have a raid incoming. Welcome, Raiders.
Oh. Yeah.
Party of 32 has joined us. Oh,
thank you. Thank you so much for joining. Who raided us?
Max Danziger.
Whoa.
Friends with the Waterfall Angel.
Oh, wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, man. Welcome, all of you new folks. We're just over here talking about Loki, so Loki spoiler alert. Hope you stick around.
You haven't seen Loki, what are you doing with your life? But
we really appreciate y'all joining. That's awesome.
Yep. So, rumors, right? We were talking about the rumor mill.
Yes.
And obviously we want Henry Cavill to be Sentry.
I don't know who Sentry
Robert
is.
Reynolds?
Don't say we like you're talking for all of us.
Hyperion? Right?
I don't want him to be anything in the MCU. I'm so tired of them reusing all the same actors, really? But that's just my soapbox.
I actually kind of love the idea of him as Adam Warlock and them really picking on him about being the perfect man. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's Superman from DC and then really, like, the Guardians giving him shit about being the perfect man.
Oh, God, that would be so great.
That's what I like.
I want Peter Quill picking his ass apart.
Yeah.
The entire time, like, you're not that great.
Or, like,
you've seen your face.
What if he is so perfect? And then they're still picking on him, but he is really perfect. And he's like, then Thor has a similar relationship to him that Quill has been having Thor.
I was going to say, didn't we already have that storyline with him and Thor?
Well, it'd be great if, like, suddenly Thor and Quill are on the same side and they're like, the new Gamora ends up with Adam Warlock.
Oh, man, that's so good. Oh, that's so good.
I like it.
So, okay, yeah, I'm down. I'm down with that. I like him for Adam Warlock. I was thinking that he could be a solid Magneto because of the white hair that he had with The Witcher.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
It was put out there by other people on the internet, and I thought, you know, that's okay. If he's not Robert Reynolds, then that's fine.
Who's Robert Reynolds?
Robert Reynolds is Sentry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Robert Reynolds, the Sentry, he's called the Golden Bullet a lot of times, like Norman Osborn.
Jeff, I'm going to stop this. I'm never going to learn anything about Sentry, and every time you mention it, I'm going to pretend like I've never heard it before. That's my new bit.
Okay. So, Sentry.
Who?
Norman Osborn took in this broken man, right? This guy who had taken drugs, and because he had taken drugs, like a specific drug, he had gotten superpowers, and like it was a long ass time ago, and like he's got a weird history, but he's like this mentally broken person. He's basically like Superman but crazy. And Norman Osborn's like, no, we can fix it to where you're a hero. Like, I can help you. But, like, when he goes nuts, he becomes the void and, like, starts destroying everything around him. And
when I go nuts, I become the void, too.
Yeah.
I just eat a lot.
No, that's called being Galactus. That's a different thing. Yeah, so he goes, he's this big bad dude when he's not a great guy. So, like, I think that Cavill could pull that off really well. Like, he's a pretty solid actor, and he's got the build to be Robert Reynolds. But...
Who?
Robert Reynolds is really only interesting with everybody, with the whole world, the whole Marvel-verse around him. So, I think we need to give it a little bit on that one.
Cool.
Anyway. So wait, we had a question from our raid leader. Do y'all have a favorite Loki? Max Danziger asked if we have a favorite Loki.
Gator Loki.
Loki Gator. Loki Gator's your favorite. Did you see the behind the scenes where they had the blue like alligator shaped?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
That was really such a good stand-in.
I love Alligator Loki because of what it means for the multiverse, like how weird it can get. You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
Much fun. Like all the other versions, yeah, like whatever. But like he becomes an alligator somehow, and it's persistent enough that it follows him to the void.
Yeah.
Who? Sorry. You mentioned it, Matt.
I know. I know. I'm not going to give this to you. Not this time. I'm thinking of my favorite. I think my favorite is Old Man Loki, the Richard E. Grant classic Loki.
A good choice.
Not just because he had the amazing costume, but because he had that amazing costume. Mm. Did you see the horns? How big they were? Like how just horns. Like perfect Loki it was. And then he was like super uber spellcaster at the end of it, like summoning all of Asgard to distract Goliath. Like, it's so good.
It was pretty amazing.
So Lauren Waters sent us an email. Hello, Ashley, Jeff, and Matthew. I absolutely adored this finale and have loved seeing everyone's reaction to it. One thing I found odd is how hard people are coming down on Sylvie for making the choice to kill Kang / the One Who Remains. I've seen a lot of people say that she pulled a Star-Lord by killing him, and I have to say I disagree. I know that by freeing the timeline, she's risking interdimensional war, but isn't that still better than not giving other timelines a chance at all? I mean, assuming the worst case scenario, which I would argue with the introduction of free will is not guaranteed, that the multiverse returns to interdimensional war, the net result will still be the same with either trillions dying of war or trillions dying of the void. Both are painful and horrific. The only real difference is that the sacred timeline gets to exist without these concerns, which I would argue is a pretty selfish bargain, especially for Sylvie, who isn't from the sacred timeline and therefore never even got that chance. At least this way, people get free will and the opportunity to attempt to see if multiple realities can coexist. You can argue that under the Kang or the Lokis, at least one world would get to live in peace, but I just don't think that's worth the cost of murdering trillions of life or timelines for crimes they haven't committed and stripping the people of the sacred timeline of the basis of free will. I also understand that after a lifetime of pain and planning, why something like killing the man who killed her family and the general concept of free will would be non-negotiable to Sylvie, which is why it's all the sadder that after achieving what she's considered her sole purpose for millennia, Sylvie is now back to where we found her, alone and likely on the run. Anyway, long story short, hashtag Sylvie was right. Thank you all for an awesome season. Can't wait for season two.
I am 100% with Lauren here, and I'm going to go further than you. You talked about the racism conversation earlier, and I didn't think you were very controversial, but the idea of no justice, no peace is what this reminds me of. Like, and riot, the like MLK quote, riots are the language of the unheard. Like, these timelines are being like trampled on, and Sylvie is one of those being trampled.
Yep.
She had no chance at existence. Her life was torture because she is a variant and she was not allowed to live, you know, from an early age. She's known nothing but war. Now it's just time she brings that war to the people who are causing it, who are stepping on her, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, I can't blame her for that. Even though, yeah, it's going to cause some craziness and it's going to cause some really, really wild things in the multiverse. But her point would be that it's got to be better than this. Like the changes that she makes have to be better than what she's experiencing now, which is completely unfair to those being trampled on.
So in the chat, Cannot Win sent the message, Sylvie, by killing He Who Remains, basically fulfilled the role that Lokis have, and that's to set up others to be the best heroes, the best versions of themselves. So like, if we're playing a numbers game, right, the multiverse existing and having a whole bunch of different versions of heroes, you can pick and choose the best ones from each of those timelines.
Yeah,
each of those variant realities.
Yes, you can. So you grab Quicksilver and Wolverine and Deadpool. And,
yep,
and
yep,
Magneto. Yep. Sorry, not leaving him out.
Yep, take Fassbender, Magneto. Just plug him right out of there. Bring him over in here.
From a better, best from the meta perspective, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not like who's the strongest.
Yeah, no, just the better.
Quicksilver showdown, baby! But wait, he got shot.
Oh. So, yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with Lauren that this is not a Star-Lord situation. Yes, Star-Lord also had pain, but, like, he wasn't going to get anything back.
Right.
It was pure petulance and revenge, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just nothing good about the way he attacked Thanos. It was childish.
Except that it's what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
According to the divine timeline.
Right. According to the divine timeline that we may or may not have been a good thing, we'll find out in Multiverse of Madness.
Probably. Or No Way Home. Or Loki Season 2.
Honestly, probably later than that. Like, if I don't know. I wonder how much Multiverse of Madness will tie in a bow the idea of the multiverse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not that it could shut it down. They could be like, okay, we solve the multiverse. It continues to exist, but we destroyed the quantum realm. So now no one can cross over between the worlds, or we put a barrier in the quantum realm to keep all the universes separate.
We put a shield around this universe so nobody can enter this one. They can fight over there as much as they want, but we're good here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they literally could do something like that. That seems more problematic, but like...
It does.
Yeah. They could solve the multiverse or something, or they could continue to, continue on.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's hard to say what's best, because we only just are starting to get to know the multiverse, really. Yeah, like,
just a baby multiverse.
It's in its infancy, mm-hmm. really, as far as Marvel is concerned. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it shakes out, right? This big tree, branching realities.
Yeah.
Some of them might need to be pruned, like Ultron going nutso and winning.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay, if any... oh, man, a multiversal Ultron that won. I want that movie. Because then you really get Age of Ultron. Like,
yeah. Well, that's what the Age of Ultron book was.
Yeah, exactly. What if we get Age of Ultron? Sorry.
Yeah, the movie's called Actual Age of Ultron.
yes, please. All right, let's see. I am really looking forward to all of that. Is there anything else? Any other things in the chat?
Brianna asked, when do we think Loki season 2 will take place? I feel like we went over this last time, though.
I don't know that we know anything. I'm guessing it'll happen in about a year from now, which will be around when Multiverse Madness comes out.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be
Multiverse Madness
after.
Is looking to come out in March.
In March, May. Really? It's May.
Is it May? It's not May.
I think it's the first summer movie, so I think. Because it's going to be their big blockbuster.
Now I don't know. No, March 25th, 2022.
Oh, what's the one after that then? Because generally they save the big tent poles for May. So I wonder...
You know what? Tom Hiddleston's top billed cast when you look that up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
On Google, though,
you liars.
I don't know what to think about that.
That's so stupid.
Let's see. What do we got?
That's just a rumor at this point.
Well, if we're going to do a whole thing about rumors, we could throw this in there.
Thor 4 is the next thing. On May 6th, 2022. So that may be the big tentpole. Maybe that will deal with the multiverse a lot. I don't know. But we're getting the multiverse. I'm really curious because, like, you know how Marvel does. They tend to keep everything tied together, but also separate enough to just watch them. And, like, if the multiverse just exists, will we just have these multiverse stories where, like, oh, someone from the multiverse popped in? And if you haven't been watching lately.
Isn't Spider-Man's December. Wouldn't that be the first?
Oh, no, we're talking about what happens after. Spider-Man. Eternals could have the multiverse. We just don't know. It could be in a different universe.
Shang-Chi could be in a different multiverse.
Yeah.
Electro and What's-His-Face confirmed for that Spider-Man movie. That's a multiverse, right?
That's pretty solidly multiverse.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that would technically be our next thing, right?
Well, Eternals is next, and then Shang-Chi is next. But, that's
specifically multiverse, because we don't know what year that Eternals is going to take place in.
Right. We don't know.
I think What If is actually going to be our first, step into multiverse.
What if the Eternals are coming, not because of the Thanos thing, but because the multiverse exploded?
Yeah.
We've never gotten involved, but now
they're
it's,
Jesus Christ,
bad.
You guys. you caused this? stop.
Stop. I guess it was really humans that did that.
Yeah.
Also, they do point out, I think they say in Loki that they're, the TVA is humans, right? They say that at one point. They say, you're just a human. And they all look like humans. And that makes me curious.
Well, they're
Kang's a human.
They're all pruned variants. Or not pruned, but they're all variants. So
of humans, though. Multiverse
they're
should
all
be
humans.
All over the universe, though. Why don't we have more, except for Loki himself, we've got him, he's an Asgardian, but it's weird to me they're all humans. It was weird there's not aliens kind of kicking about in the background.
Well, there was one alien that was a Skrull.
There's a Skrull that was arrested,
but not
working. He
was being processed.
Yeah.
Right, he was being processed, but if all of the TVA is variants that have been kind of reprogrammed, that Skrull could have been taken for reprogramming somewhere.
Sure.
I mean, we don't see him again.
But a lot of them are also pruned, we think. Yeah, we just don't know.
Maybe.
Some of them seems like some are pruned and some are repurposed.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of who could be more useful. If you're useful enough, then you can be reset.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Ash, you said there was one more?
Last one is okay from... Sorry, SparkSam85 says, okay, we all think Secret War is coming. What do you all think about Beyonder, Collector, and Grandmaster showing up as the new masters from their timelines with various teams to battle Kang?
I don't know. The Grandmaster and the Collector have not really been shown to be as crazy powerful as they are in the comics. They just seem to be really old crazy guys.
They seem to be guys with a lot of wealth or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're eccentric.
Yeah,
right. Their power is their eccentricity.
And like I said, wealth.
Money.
Just they seem to have a lot of status and power because they're old.
They're super old Batman.
Yeah, they're super old, except without all the gadgets. They just have people that work for them.
I don't know.
They're super old Jeff Bezos.
Grandmaster has that melt stick.
Yeah, but that's just
and
technology.
The Willy Wonka tunnel.
Willy Wonka tunnel.
What the fuck else is a gadget, Matt?
I'm saying on his person. He has people working for him. It's a palace and he has all this stuff. But he's not
he's got the zap remote for everybody, the universal zap remote. Come on.
Right, but isn't that someone else that's even manning that most of the time?
No.
Does he have the zap remote in his hand? Okay.
Yeah. He zaps people all the time. He was zapping Thor to be like, don't hurt my Hulk. No, he's my champion. What the fuck else is gadget unless technology?
Well, yeah, no, I just... Truth. I'm sorry. I kind of lost my thread of my logic there, but I was saying, it's not like he's wearing a suit. It's not like he's not Batman in that sense.
Have you seen his suit?
He's wearing a nice suit, I will
It's
admit.
Very shiny.
Very shiny. Okay. we do have one real quick just from SparkSam85 says, I think these next two movies will be multiverse, but pre-multiverse, but then at the end or post credits, multiverse will be open. That's a pretty good call. I like that. I like that theory.
Yeah, sort of like Ant-Man and the Wasp was pre-snap right up until the end, and you're like, why did you do this?
Man, I'm just amazed they're going to go multiversal with Spider-Man when the last thing we saw of Spider-Man was him getting his identity revealed. You know what I mean? Like, that was already so much craziness going on in that kid's life, and now you're going to throw the multiverse at him.
Right?
We got to go. We got to get off this episode, because we got more to record tonight. We love you all. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at strandedpanda.com. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.